Hello, I'm Gaynor Lord, and welcome to Chatterbox, the talking newspaper. This is edition 2194, recorded on Thursday the 27th of October 2022, bringing you news and information from your local Norwich Evening News. Paul Henderson is here with me, and together we will bring you local news stories, topical letters, information desk, and two features. The first one is the Derek James article, Through the Decades. He looks at how an alert policeman foiled thieves at a city factory in 1962. The second one is about an enthusiastic group of volunteers at the Plantation Garden collecting interesting data. We are delighted to welcome some new listeners this week. Hello to Mr. Stephen Fife of Thorpe, Ms. Jill Ascombe from Mulbarton, and Miss Dorothy Halesworth from Sheringham. We do hope you enjoy our recordings. So, we'll begin with our first batch of news stories. There are fears county line gangs will lure children trying to help their parents. The city's annual sleep out will help tackle homelessness, and rare bats are believed to be found at a park earmarked for homes.
Dozens of fundraisers braved the elements at Carrow Road to get a small insight into what it's like to sleep rough. Their aim was to raise funds for Norwich-based charity, the Benjamin Foundation, to prevent youth homelessness. This year was the seventh time the event has been held, having started in 2015, but having a year off during the pandemic. The sleep out took place in Norwich City Football Club's car park and involved more than 80 participants. Director of Operations at the Benjamin Foundation, Sharon Matthews, said, "The team have been working hard to make sleep out a moving and thought-provoking experience for participants. It aims to challenge how people think about homelessness and show them what they can do to end youth homelessness." The event also puts on toilets, refreshments and meals, so it would never truly replicate being homeless, Sharon said. She added, "Some people come more prepared than others. Some have wild camping experience, who have the equipment, and others simply coming with a piece of cardboard to lay on." To date, this event has raised £280,000, which makes a huge difference in young people's lives. Sharon continued, "We set up Opportunities Fund within our organisation after the event. This means all the young people we work with can apply to that fund to meet their individual needs. For example, they could ask for clothing for a job interview, kitchen essentials, counselling costs, anything that gives them a building block to create a successful life in a way that is bespoke to them." Having served tea and coffee all night, Sharon added, "I want to thank everyone for helping, the staff, the football club, the participants. Without those people, this just wouldn't be possible. It doesn't sound like much fun, but it is really an enjoyable night. And we as a charity are so grateful."
Plans to build a new primary school for more than 400 children in a rapidly expanding village has been submitted. Norfolk County Council has applied to itself for permission to build a two-storey primary school in Cringleford on the edge of Norwich. The new school is proposed for land off Coney Lane, close to the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital, and is designed to help the village cope with its ever-growing population. Around 1,300 new homes are planned for the village, a growth of around 50% of its current size. The scheme is largely financed by County Hall, but will be propped up by the developer contributions through the Community Infrastructure Levy. If approved, the new school will be set across two storey and have enough places for 420 pupils. Currently, the village, which has around 2,000 homes, only has one primary school, Cringleford Church of England Primary School, which would be grossly overfunded without the new school. The need for a new school was previously identified when it was included in an outline application to South Norfolk Council to build 650 homes in the village. The school has been designed with future-proofing in mind, with a variety of features included to offset carbon impact. This includes equipment buildings with solar panels, passive stack ventilation, heat pumps, and an all-electric kitchen. The council's ambition is for the school to be built and opened by September 2024. It has also launched a hunt for an organisation to operate the school, with Academy Trust given until November the 7th to register their interest. The planning application is due to be considered in due course, with a decision expected in early 2023. Should the plan go ahead, it would almost double the number of primary school places available in the village.
Campaigners hoping to protect a green space from being turned into homes believe they have found evidence of an incredibly rare bat species inhabiting the site. The Deer Park Action Group in Old Catton carried out a bat survey at the deer park in late summer. It comes after the Grade 2 listed green space was purchased from the Buxton family by housing company Devlin Developments in April. A planning application is expected to be submitted to Broadland District Council within a year. The Deer Park Action Group used bat monitoring equipment to detect sonars from different types of species. The group added its results have revealed a thriving population in the deer park, with six species found altogether. They claim this includes a species which the Wildlife Trust says is incredibly rare, a Barbastel bat. They are estimated to be 5,000 Barbastel bats across the UK. Bat survey organiser Christian Clark, who is a member of the action group, said, "To be involved in this project has been thrilling from start to finish. The results we have just shows the importance of the deer park to the wide variety of wildlife that inhabit it. There could be as few as 5,000 Barbastel bats in the UK, and to have one of their habitats be under threat of development is unthinkable. If this isn't clear indication that the deer park must be preserved, what is?" Natural England will be formally approached for consultation when a planning application is submitted to verify the findings. The other species thought to be found during the survey included pipistrelles, the noctule, and the brown long-eared bat. The bat recorders were placed overnight in two gardens in Burma Road and the Warren to record the sound waves of the bats from the survey. Cathy Branson, chairwoman of the action group, said, "We have found several bats on the deer park. Most exciting is the Barbastel, as it is red-listed and at risk. It also looks like a tiny vampire bat, which is highly appropriate for Halloween."
An adventurous youngster had to be rescued by the emergency services after finding himself stuck knee-deep in mud. A 12-year-old boy is thought to have been exploring the pond-like land of Blake Close in Heatherset when he sank and got stuck. Emma Reagan was walking home from school with her two children, aged 4 and 7 months old, when she heard the boy shouting for help. She explained, "At first, I thought it was kids messing about because there's a play park nearby. But my daughter Elsie said, 'Someone's shouting for help.' We went towards the swampy area and saw a child stuck up to his knees on both legs. The family calmed the child down and established that they couldn't physically get him out. The mum of two added that the boy couldn't remember his home address or a phone number for his parents. She added there was no way he was getting out of there on his own. He was wedged. If any other than trained professionals went down there, they would have been stuck as well. Then the fire engine arrived. They hosed him down with the hose on the fire engine. He was covered. A fire and rescue service spokesman said, We were called by the police. Crews from Earlham and Carrow attended and released the child in Blake Close. The incident commander then walked the child back home.
Primary school-aged children could be coaxed into gangs as they try to support their cash-strapped parents, experts have warned. With inflation rates rising and fears of austerity, many families will be feeling the strain this winter. This could lead to youngsters trying to bring in funds to help their parents and looking to drug-related activity as a quick way of raising cash. A strategy paper by the National Police Chiefs Council, released last month, warned forces fear for children will be drawn into the world of crime and drugs because of the economic turmoil. Junior Smart is an ex-offender who was sentenced to 12 years in prison due to a serious drug offence as a teenager. He has gone on to be the founder and business development manager of St Giles' Trust's SOS project, which covers Norwich. Mr Smart said, "We should be ashamed, as one of the richest and most developed countries in the world, having vulnerable people struggling to put the heating on and afford food. It's having a massive knock-on effect on crime. The reasons behind drug-taking are an escape from daily pressures. For drug dealing, it comes down to looking at ways of making money." The project founder is currently working with a family which is struggling to find ways to find an extra £130 a month to cover their rising energy bills. But Norfolk Constabulary has pointed out its recent performance on erasing county lines from the city has been impressive and has been lauded by the Attorney General for its work. Detective Sergeant Robin Windsor-Waite from the County Lines team said there has been around 80% reduction in county lines activity, with more than 60 lines closed in the Norwich area. This included around 90 people who control the lines from London being rooted out. As a result, Detective Inspector Windsor-Waite is confident Norfolk Constabulary can keep on top of the situation this winter. He said, "Nationally, there is probably a concern when times get tough, as crime does tend to pick up. But certainly in Norwich, we have got a fantastic grip on county lines, and it has been improving massively over the last 3 years."
The owners of a Suffolk restaurant, which has blossomed since opening 3 years ago, are expanding in Norwich. Business partners Carlos Magdalis and Fabio Rodriguez are opening Silhouette at the top of Timber Hill in the former home of Steak and Lobster Lounge, Borgie, which closed during the pandemic. The new opening follows the success of Il Salvatore restaurant, which the pair opened in Brandon in 2019 and has become a social media sensation for its flower walls and vibrant cocktails. Silhouette will also have a big focus on florals, both inside and outside of the restaurant, which will include a blossom tree. But it will tick the boxes for both style and substance, with all-day dining and a menu of steak, burgers, pasta dishes and afternoon tea. The extensive cocktail range, which include gin and vodka-based drinks, alongside frozen daiquiris, with a choice of strawberry, coconut, passion fruit or mango. Mr. Magadalis, 37, said, "We are doing so well at Il Salvatore and have created amazing things over there. People travel from Norfolk, Essex and even London to try our cocktails. We do authentic Italian food there, but at Silhouette it will be more contemporary cuisine with similar milkshakes and cocktails, though we will introduce some new ones. They received the keys to the Timber Hill site this week and having marked the opening for January 2023, which work set to get underway very soon.
Scammers have been continuing to tell people in Norfolk they can get a £400 reduction off energy bills. Over the past few weeks, Norfolk Trading Standards has received a number of reports from those targeted, saying they have received texts pretending to be from government and energy regulator Ofcom. But Trading Standards is reminding people they will not be contacted by either organisation and asked to share bank details. Those who are eligible for real discount have been reminded the government support payments which are being made available will be automatically applied to energy accounts. Those who have fallen for a scam message should contact their bank immediately on a number they know to be correct, such as the one on the back of their bank card. People can report scam text messages via the Citizens Advice Consumer Helpline on 0808 223 1133.